Good morning. I wanted to share with you a study that started with the worship leaders read a book called Holy Roar early last year, and then my link group, I thought it was so meaningful that our link group studied the seven words of praise, which was really, really new to me, even being a Christian ever since I can remember. So it was cool to learn something new when we're approaching, I'm past 40 now, but approaching 40. But the main goal of this morning is how do we read and connect with the Psalms in a new way in order to draw closer to God? So two things I want you to take away from this morning: overall structure of the Psalms and the types of Psalms, and then how the seven words of praise, try not to kick my water here, how the seven words of praise can help drive deeper meaning to reading the scriptures and deeper meaning to praising God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Psalms. Thank you that we could study them together and draw closer to you. Amen. I will try not to get emotional, but I feel like it's going to happen. So Clay's not here, so I have to take his place. Let's start off with reading Psalm 1, which sets up the whole Psalm scroll. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners that take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff blown away that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. There's two paths that Psalm 1 sets up. There's the path of the wicked. They're blown away like chaff, clearly on the path of destruction. And those who delight in the law of the Lord are like a tree planted next to water, yielding fruit in season. The word law here is Torah, which can be translated law or instruction or teaching, which links the reader back to the first five books of the Bible that they call the Torah, which is God's instruction to his people. Those who spend time in his word will yield fruit for his kingdom. Blessed are those who delight in the instruction of the Lord. Let's zoom out for a minute. What are the Psalms? Psalms in Hebrew are called Tehillim, which means praises. It can be called also a prayer book for the exiles, since it was collected together during their exile in Babylon. In its form we know it today, it's a collection of God-breathed Hebrew poems and songs arranged into a larger whole. Let's go back in time to ancient Israel. The city of Jerusalem holds Yahweh's glorious temple, built during Solomon's reign, where all can come and worship the one true God. In Jerusalem, the people repeatedly ignored God's calls to turn from their evil ways, and king after Solomon just led them astray with a couple bright spots. But then after many, many warnings and from prophets and from God, in 586 BC, Jerusalem and God's temple were completely destroyed, and God's people were led as slaves to Babylon in exile. During the exile, the people of Judah started to collect various poems from David and other writers, realizing that their ancestors had also cried out to the Lord with similar questions, pleas, celebrations, and thanksgiving as the exiles had felt right then in Babylon. This new collection served as kind of a virtual temple for God's people to draw close to him, to praise him, to cry out to him, to feel his presence. I thought that idea was really cool, that the Book of Psalms could be a virtual temple that can draw us close to God, because that was the point of the temple. The temple was where you could be near God's presence, and the temple was destroyed, and God said, no, use these psalms to draw close to me, because I'm right here. It's broken up into five books with sub-themes that build together as a whole. There's 150 psalms, 73 are linked to David, 49 are anonymous, 2 to Solomon, and 1 to Moses, and the rest to various other authors. As I did research for this, and Lizzie was like, yeah, do an intro into Psalms before the seven words of praise. Man, that was a cool black hole that I just dove right in. So more than half of my sermon is on the structure, which I think is so cool because over the years doing link groups, some of my favorite studies have been how to study God's word better, because his word is our truth that we want to, you know, put in our hearts. So this is super cool for me. So I hope you all follow along. But Psalms is bookended with Psalms 1 and 2 as introduction, and then five final hallelujah psalms at the end. Intro 1 and 2 celebrate the person who is blessed that we just read earlier because they meditate on Torah, prayerfully reading and obeying it. I thought this was super cool. Psalm 2 introduces the promise of God's anointed, Israel's future king, the Messiah. I don't know how I went 40 years reading the Bible and not realizing that Psalm 2 talked about this Messiah coming. I was like, I'm missing it. It's interesting because it paralyzes the structure of the five books in the Psalms, paralyzes the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, where God gave us instruction. And it offers a new Torah to teach you about prayer and praise. Book 1, Psalms 3 through 41, most are linked to David and his ancestors, the kings, and work right up to the exile. And it's a call to covenant faithfulness. Book 2, Psalm 42 through 72, gives hope for the Messianic king and ends with Psalm 72, which talks about the future reign of the Messianic king. Book 3, right in the middle, 73 through 89, it talks about the hope for Messiah after exile. Then Book 4, Psalm 90 through 106, the God of Israel as king of all creation, starting with Psalm 90, which calls upon God to show mercy on his people, just like Moses called out at Mount Sinai when the people were worshiping the idols, the golden calf. And then the overall theme is the Lord reigns as king, and all creation celebrates the future king when he will bring healing and justice over the world. And then finally, Book 5, Psalm 107 through 145, combines themes of Psalm 1 and 2, the Torah, and the messianic hope about God's kingdom. And then it ends with five concluding psalms that start and end with hallelujah, which literally means praise Yah, short for Yahweh. And we'll talk about Hallah as one of the words later. There's tons of subtypes of psalms, but I'm going to focus kind of high level on two main types. There's lament and praise psalms. Lament either express struggles, suffering, or disappointment to the Lord, but show trust in him despite the struggles. These could be individual or corporate, meaning kind of the whole group of Israel. Times were often hard for ancient Israelites. This shows us it's okay to cry out to God with our feelings. It's okay to be honest with him how you feel. God is with you through the struggles, through the hardships. These lament psalms give us great examples of how to go to God with our feelings. Then we have praise psalms. God deserves our praise, and these psalms are great examples of how his people cry out to praise him. Sometimes these are individual praises. Sometimes they're praises of Israel's salvation history, celebrating God, praises of God saving his people through hard and uncertain times. Sometimes they're celebration and affirmation praises. Throughout all types of psalms, there are seven different words that for praise, expressing the different ways that we can praise God as his people, which we'll get into soon. Lament dominates the first half of the books in books 1 through 3, with some praise sprinkled throughout to give hope. And I love this picture as it gets to the second half, books 4 and 5, praise psalms dominate. So it's kind of this transition, which is really cool. When you read an individual verse, it might sound pretty, and we like to do that, but others might not make sense when you read them by themselves. Read the whole psalm together as one and see what the whole psalm is trying to convey. Try reading it out loud. Listen to it from an audio Bible. Read it with a friend and read it aloud together. And then look up keywords and understand deeper meaning on how the psalm is crying out and praising God. Let's zoom in a little bit deeper and take a look at each word of praise in English. And Well, we use the word praise in English, but then there's seven Hebrew words to talk about. When we talk about singing praise to the Lord, I bet we all picture something different. Some of us picture singing out of a hymnal in wooden pews with our hands down and everybody's kind of singing with the organ music. Others might be dancing in the aisles, clapping, celebrating. Maybe some of us think about taking a hike in the woods and humming a favorite song in prayer. We use the same word for praise in English for all these things. Like I said, last year we read this book as worship leaders called Holy Roar. It was co-written by Chris Tomlin and his pastor, Darren Whitehead. It was the first time I had ever heard about this concept for so many different words for praise that we just translate to praise. It's amazing to me that praise is so much more than just music that we make with our mouths. Let's look at what they mean and read some Psalms together. These seven words are used throughout the whole Old Testament in Hebrew, and they're especially used all over the Psalms. Leslie did a great job making these simple depictions that I use in the background, and you'll see more in more detail soon. And also, please pardon my pronunciation of the Hebrew. The seven words are Toda, which is a thanksgiving for what God has done and will do expectantly. Yada is to extend the hands outward. Barak is to kneel or to bow. Shabach, that one sounds really Klingon to me. It's a loud tone and a shout of triumph. Zamer, to celebrate in song and in music. Hala, to celebrate, to boast, to rave about. Tehillah, a song of a grateful from a grateful heart. There will be some overlapping on usage here and the meanings, but I want you to take the nuance of each one and think about and meditate on how it's used in the scripture. And it's key to it's worth deeper study as you go to your personal reading and link groups to fully grasp these. We spent a week on two of these in link group, so I'm kind of rushing us today. The first I wanted to start with is Todah. I put this word first because it's hard to approach worship and praise of the Lord without a sense of thankfulness for what he's done for us. It's used in songs of worship. It's translated as praise, thanksgiving, give thanks, with a particular emphasis on the concept of offering praise and thanksgiving as a sacrifice to God. It's also referred to when they talk about the different types of sacrifices at the tabernacle. It's used for the thanks offering as one of those. That's one of those sacrifices in Leviticus and Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Then there's yada. This literally means to extend the hands outward. In the Bible, it's used primarily to extend the hands in reverence or in worship. And it's translated as praise, give thanks, to thank, and thanksgiving. At Centrifuge, we were talking about these seven words briefly with the teens, and Elijah made a really great analogy. He said that our little ones come up to us and they're like, Daddy. And that was really meaningful analogy to kind of connect here. We're not saying that they're worshiping their parents, but they're coming to say, I need you, Lord. I'm in awe of you. I worship you. When I read the Holy Roar book, I was hit really hard with this. Raising your hands isn't just what some churches want you to do or they do in church. It's the act of raising your hands is actually a way to worship God. That really just hit me. This was a really powerful thing for me. And then similarly, Barak. The meaning here is to kneel. By implication, it means to bless God in an act of adoration. Both Barak and Yada were powerful because it's the position of your body and your heart affects your heart's posture in worship. Have you ever prayed or worshiped God with your knees or on your knees or face down? I challenge you all to try it sometime. Again, at Centrifuge, we practiced this with the teen group for a few minutes in prayer as we went through the Acts prayer. You should corner one of the teens soon and ask them what they thought about that and if they've tried it again since. Psalm 95, 6 and 7 says, Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel, Barak, before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you would only hear his voice. Shabbach means to address in a loud tone, particularly with a sense of triumph. The words here translate they translate Shabbach into glory, glorify, commend, extol. To me, this reminds me when someone yells, "Amen." It's more than just shouting and agreeing with the speaker, which is probably what I kind of thought when I was a kid. This is an admiration for God's glory. Or maybe shouting, "Thank you, Lord. The Lord is good." As we approach God with Shabbach, we call out to our Heavenly Father in praise. Psalm 63:3 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify Shabbach you. I feel like that gives a lot deeper meaning to that verse. Samer, literally to pluck fingers on a musical instrument, translated to give praise, sing forth praises, sing psalms. This is the first of the words that so far that actually means what our default definition means for praise. To make music to the Lord. Samer reminded me of this verse. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the word praise there is hala, which I'll get to next. Hala, root of the word hallelujah that I mentioned earlier. It's derived from the primitive root that means, among other things, to be clear, to shine, to make a show, to boast, to be clamorously foolish, to rave. Some techno music comes in my head for some reason. In the scriptures, in addition to praise, hala is translated commend, boast, celebrate, glory, exalt, sing praise, and shine. This makes me think of David in his worship to the Lord when he said in 2 Samuel 6, I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. Have you ever worshipped in an undignified way? In hala? Or the opposite, have you ever not worshipped in a certain way because you were afraid of what people might think? I'm definitely guilty of that second one. I used to be afraid to raise my hands in yada because of others around me. How powerful would it be if God's people could worship in hala without worries? Tehillah, the last one, described in Holy Roar Book as a song from a grateful heart. Here the focus can be on musical expressions and worship and how the song emanates from your heart full of gratitude to the Lord. Definition says a hymn of praise, adoration, thanksgiving paid to God, praise demanded by qualities or deeds or attributes of God. Have you ever been so thankful about something that you couldn't help but hum a song? Or maybe so happy that you had such news that you had to tell everybody you met what the news was? This word reminds me of this feeling. So thankful, so full of thankfulness towards God that you have to praise him. Psalm 35:28 says, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your tehillah praises all day long. Now that we learned these words, let's read some psalms together and with these words translated in the Hebrew. Psalm 100, a psalm of todah, thanksgiving. Shout with the Lord, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with todah, thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise, tehillah. Give thanks, yada, to him and praise Barak, his name. For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Let's think about those words that I translated for us. I think the meaning gets a bunch more dimensions, knowing that it's not just thanksgiving, praise, thanks, and praise. It's a psalm of todah, a thanksgiving for what God has done. Enter his gates with todah. So you're entering his gates with praise, full of thanksgiving in your heart. give yada to him and praise, barak his name on your knees, face down in reverence to the Lord. Let's read Psalm 117 too, or as well. Halal, praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol, shabak him, all you people. For great is his love towards us, and his faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. So this is a short one, but to clamorously praise the Lord, all you nations. To rave the Lord, all you nations. Just, it's interesting to kind of picture what that is versus just praise the Lord. Extol, shout praises to him, all you people. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. This shows us how people can cry out to the Lord, our God, in so many different ways. To close, I'm going to read a quote from the Bible Project about the Psalms. And I think they do a great job of summarizing what the Psalms are. Psalms teaches us to neither ignore our pain nor let it determine our lives. God will fulfill his promises from the Torah and send the Messiah. The book is all about lament, praise, faith, and hope of God's people. I encourage you to dive into the Psalms on your own, knowing a little bit more than you did earlier. And God, I know God will pull you closer. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your book of Psalms. Thank you for you and your love for us and your desire to just draw us close to you. I pray that we would spend time with you among our busy lives and make it a priority, that we would learn more about you, learn how to talk, learn how to listen to you. Draw us close to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.